Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Ches, we notice in the outside margin of your page a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei is a topic, Mivneh, structural note. We have featured a triangle with a colored in tip, and you'll notice in the Gemara, as of course the geometric forms in our marking system represent a series of something, we've featured in the outside margin a triangle with a colored in tip, and in quotation marks, afapi she'amru, etc. Dugmois shel toisefes bakoshois protiois b'shmoyne esrei, chutz mishomea tfila. Examples of personal requests that one may recite in a Shmona Esrei besides the option of requesting it in the Brocha of Shomea Tfila. The Gemara begins from the last of the narrow lines at the upper part of Daf Ches. Amar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Afal Pi Sheomru Shoel Odom Tzrocha V'Shomea Tfila. Even though it has been said that a person may issue personal requests in the middle of the Shmona Esrei in the Brocha of Shomea Tfila, Aval im ba loymar besoif kol brocha ubrocha me'ein kol brocha ubrocha Omer, if a person has a specific request that conforms to the subject matter of any specific brocha in the Shmona Esrei, after all, the Shmona Esrei is comprised of, besides the opening three and final three brachas that are, we'll call, standard form, that's six, there remains 13 internal brachos, that each one of which has a specific topic. The Gemara here is giving an option for a person to insert into each bracha a request that conforms to the nature of that particular bracha. We'll see a little bit more about this in the next statement. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Afal Pi She'amru, Shoyel Odom Tzrocha B'Shomea Tfila, Im Yesh Lo Chole V'Tzroch Beiso, Omer B'Birchas Cholim. If a person has an ill member of his household in his family, he may insert a request for his recuperation in the brocha of Rifo'enu, which is called Birchas Cholim, the brocha for the sick. V'im Tzorach L'Farnosa, if a person has a need, a special income request, need for improved financial status, so Omer B'Birchas Hashanim, he can say that in the brocha known as Birchas Hashanim, that in certain nuschos begins with the words Borech Aleinu Es Hashana Hazois. Yes, kol minei svoso the table. We would take note of Rashi, four lines from the top. Me'ein kol brocha ubrocha. This was the statement that was part of Rav Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas. And Rashi adds another example that we haven't seen in the Gemara. Im hoyo meshakeach talmudo, if a person felt that he was forgetting his learning, marich b'choinin hadoas, he can increase, he can issue his personal request in the brocha, the first of the internal brochas of the Shmon Esrei, of choinin hadoas. One sees something fascinating over here, that medicine, so to speak, for improved memory regarding, at least as far as Torah learning is concerned, the solution to that problem of forgetting one's Torah learning is by davening, is by making a request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help one remember. Im Baal Tshuvahu Marich Behoroitze B'Tshuvah. If one is trying to practice repentance, he can issue a request for heavenly assistance in that area, in the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha V'chein Kulan. So between the Gemara and the Rashi, one sees quite a few examples of brachas that lend themselves to personal requests. Continuing in the Gemara, number 3, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Afo Pishomer Shoel Odom Tzrocho B'Shomea Tfila, Avol Im Bo Loimar Achar Tfiloso, Afilu Keseder Yom HaKippurim, Omer, that we see from here that even though the standard place for adding personal requests is in the Broch of Shomea Tfila, if one wants to add to the end of the Shmona Esrei, in the same position that one in reciting the Yom Kippur confession, the vidui of Yom Kippur, one before one takes three steps back, one after saying the brocha hamavorach of Birchas Hashalom hamavorach Hasamo Yisrael Bashalom, after that there's, when it comes to Yom Kippur time, there's an entire section that's added before the taking of three steps back. Likewise, one can use that portion of the Shmona Esrei for additional requests of a personal nature. The Mishnah. V'elu eideim shel oivdei kechovim. The following are the names of holidays of the idol worshippers, concerning which the 3 days beforehand would be restricted in commercial activity with them. Kalando, Satruno, Starnuro, the Kartisim, the Yon Genusia Shamachem, the Yom Haleido, the Yom Hamisodivri Rabbi Meir. The Gemara will offer explanations for these different holidays. The Chachomim Oimrim, Kol Misa, Sheyesh Bo Srefa, Yesh Bo Avodas Kechovim. Deaths, particularly royal deaths, that have accompanying them the burning of his personal wares. That kind of event is characteristic of an event that there would be idol worship as well. Rashi says, "Yesh bo avodas kechovim, klomar oisu hayoim, that day that the king dies and they practice the burning of his personal wares, oivdem avodas kechovim, v'hu lohen yoim eid, v'chein mishona l'shona, kol yemei bino." That particular day that a king died and there was a burning of his personal wares, that day is celebrated each year at that same date into the realm, into the reign of his son. The Mishnah continues, Vishain Basrefa, if there was a royal death and they did not burn his personal wares, Ein Ba Avodas Kechovim. Avol Yoim Tiglacha Zikonu Bloriso, the day of his cutting or trimming of his beard and his hair. These are days that don't have a fixed time on the calendar for the public. V'yoyim sha'oloboy min hayam, or the day that he finished some type of sea trip. V'yoyim sha'yotzim mibeis ha'asurim, or a day that a person exits jail. Eino osur ela oiso hayoyim v'oiso ish bilvad. Those don't take in the days before, nor do they take in other people other than the person himself. Omar of Chonon Barova. Kalanda, that was one of the holiday names that were named in the Mishnah. is Shmoyne Yomim Achar Tkufa. It is celebrated 8 days after Tkufas Teves, the winter season, sets in. Starnura Shmoyne Yomim Lifnei Tkufa. The Starnura holiday is 8 days before the Tkufa. One may note that as far as the order of these holidays are mentioned in the Mishnah, Starnura is mentioned after Kalanda, even though on the calendar it takes place earlier. The Simonech, in order to remember that particular fact, remember the Pasuk Achor Vokenem Tzartani. Achor means something later, something in back of. It's mentioned earlier in the Pasuk. Vokedem is mentioned later, even though Kedem indicates something early. So that by remembering the Pasuk and the order of the words, namely the word referring to something later actually appears earlier, one can remember the Mishnah that the holiday that appears earlier is a holiday that's celebrated later. Before proceeding in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We have a diamond. The diamond here is colored in, the tip is colored in, to contrast it, of course, with the diamond in the previous daf. The Nosei Mivneh heading that you find in your outside margin features this marking, and then explanation. Two makoros, two sources, shemetarim, that describe pachadoi shel Odom harishon, the fear of Odom. One is, he was fearful, fear-struck, mitnei toisefes yomim shebohem shois halaylo hisrabu v'chashash zu sofo. He noticed that the days, the oncoming days that he was experiencing after his creation, were days where the nighttime, where darkness was increasing, and he thought that the fact that there was an increased number of darkness hours, that represented his coming to his end. And number two, a fear that overcame Odom Harishon on the first day of his creation, when Mipnei Shkia Sachama, where he saw the sun setting, he thought that that's a sign of his end. Turning back to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and in our marking system, the Tanaic sources that appear in the Gemara are framed off to set it aside from the rest, set it apart from the rest of the Gemara text. So this Tanaic source begins, Lefi Shiro Odom Horishain Yoim Shemismayid V'Hoylech. Odom saw that the oncoming days were experiencing fewer hours of daylight. Omar, he said, Oili, woe unto me, Shemo B'Shvil Shesorachti, maybe because I sinned, Oilam Choshuch Badi, V'Chozu L'Tovavo. The world is now turning to darkness and is approaching the state of pre-creation, the state of Tohu Vavo. V'Zuhi Miso Shenignaso Alay Min HaShemayim. And this is the death that was punished with from heaven. Omar V'Yoshav Shmoni Yomim B'Tainis U'B'Tfilah. In order to practice repentance, he sat for 8 days in fasting and prayer. Kevan Shiroh Tkufas Teves, when the winter solstice date arrived, the raw Yoim Shemarach V'Holech, and then he noticed that at that point the hours of daylight started to increase. Omar, he then concluded, Minhogu shel olam hu. This must be the way of nature, the way the world was created. And it's not a sign of my having, it's not a result of my having sinned. Holach v'yosa shmoni yomim tovim. He then made another, celebrated the next 8 days as a holiday. L'shono acheres asan le'elu uli elu yomim tovim. The following year, he practiced both as both units of 8 days as holidays. Hu kavon l'shem shemayim. He established them as in honor of God. Vehem, the subsequent generations of idol worshippers, kavum l'shem avodas kohavim. They corrupted what was originally a good idea and made them into days of idol worship. Bishlamo l'mando amar b'tishrei nivra olam. The Gemara right now is making reference to a machlokas that one sees in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. There is a machlokas as to when the world was created. Was it created in Tishrei or created in Nisan? Tishrei being the fall season, and Nisan being the spring season. So if you say that B'tishrei Nivra Olam, things work out. Yomei Zuti Chaza, Yomei Arichi Akati Lo Chaza. He was, Adam was created in the fall, and as each day went on, what was happening? The hours of night time were increasing. So he didn't see days where there was a lot of light, where there was, as the Gemara terms it, Yomi Arichi, long days, meaning long periods of daylight per day. That he didn't see. If you say that he was created in Nisan, he saw days of less light. The Nisan time, in the springtime, there were days where the amount of light is less than the amount of light experienced during the summer months. So he saw already short days and long days. He saw the long days in Tkufas Tammuz. So he should have known already that that was the Minug HaOlam. So the question is that after having seen, relatively speaking, shorter days and then long days, why was he fear-struck? Gemara answers, Davi Zuti Kulei Hai Lo Chaza. Such extremely short days, namely the days that are characteristic as of the winter season, as one is approaching the winter season, the winter solstice, that level of shortness he did not see. And therefore, when the winter solstice was approaching, he became fear-struck. Tanu Rabbanan, Yom Shenivra Boi Odom Horishon, on the day that Adam was created, Kivan Sheshoka Olav Chamo, when the sun set, Omar Oy Li, woe unto me, Shebeshvil Shesarachti Olam Choshuch Badi, V'yachzur Olam L'Toi Vovo, V'zuhi Miso Shenikmas Olai Min HaShamayim. This expression we saw in the previous brisa, that he was fear-struck because of his sins, he felt that the setting of the sun represented his oncoming death. Hoyo Yoshe V'tanis, U'boiche Kol HaLayla, V'chavo Boicho Kenegdo. Adam and Chavo sat in fasting and prayer and crying all that night. Kevan She'olam Roshachar, when daybreak arrived, Omar Min Hogu She'olam Hu, it must be that this is the way of the world. Omad V'hikriv Shor She'karnov Koidmin L'Parsoisov. He then offered a sacrifice out of gratitude, and he offered an animal, an ox, who was fully developed. The Gemara, the Brisa says, its horns came before its feet. We'll allude to that in a moment. We'll explain that in a moment. The Brisa cites the pasuk Shenema Vatetiv Lashem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. The Gemara points out Bereisha Makrin. First, you have a reference to the Makrin, the horns, the Hodar Mafris, and then the feet. Let's glance at the Rashi. First, the Rashi that says Shekarnosov Kodmois Leparsoisov. The Omar Mor, it has been said in Maseches Chulin, Kol Maisa Breishis, all creatures, the Koimoson Nivru, they were created in a complete form. Shor Im Karnov Megudolin, the ox was created with fully grown horns. The Kevan Shiyotza Rosha Tchila, since the animals rose from under the surface of the ground in creation, they rose up from the bottom, standing erect, standing, in other words, in their normal position. What came up first? The head came up first. Nimsu Karnoisov, the horns that are attached to the head, Koidmois Leparsosov, they came up before the feet. The next Rashi says, he addresses the posuk that was presented and said, explains, "Vatetiv Lashem Mishor Par, Omar David, David HaMelech, who said this posuk." He says, "Vatetiv Lashem Tfilosi, that more desired by God is my prayer, more desired than what? Mishor, Shebiyoyim Shehoya Shor, Tahainu Oisoyim Shenolad, Kedechtiv." The shore is called a shore on the day it is born. The pasuk says, "Shor o kesev ki yivaleid v'hoya shivas yomim tachasimo." Hare osui v'nigmar kepar shehu ben shloisha shafilu mikarnov lo chosar. The shor described in the pasuk, which is a description of the shor that Odom Harishon was makriv, is a shor that was created on its very first day in a complete form. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Shor Shehikriv Odom Harishon, Keren Achas Hoysa Loi B'mischo. It had a singular horn in its forehead. Usually a shor has two horns. This was a uni-horned ox. Shenemar Vatedev L'shem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. The Gemara asks, if you're going to cite that pasuk as proof to the fact that it had one horn, makrin tarti mashma. When you read the pasuk, you read makrin, and with the yud in the pasuk as the way it's read, it gives it a plural meaning. So how can you say that it had one horn when the word makrin, which implies pluralness, is in fact the case? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, mikeren ksiv. The traditional writing of that word, or the spelling of that word, is without a yud, so that even though it's pronounced makrin, nevertheless the spelling of it is in the singular, hence the singular horn. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's glance at the topic heading that we've assigned to this section, the Nose. Haim yesh heter masu maton, is there permission to conduct business im ayoros shesvivois umeshuabodois leir shiyesh lo yoim aid? Let us imagine that there's a central city that is celebrating a holiday, an idolatrous holiday. The central city actually celebrates the holiday. What is the halacha with regard to conducting business with the surrounding communities, those communities that are surrounding the central city and in fact are mishubad, are bound to that central city? They may in fact, they pay taxes to that central city, but they themselves do not celebrate the holiday. The Gemara. Boi Rav Matana, Roimi Sheosto Kalanda, Romi that celebrates the Kalanda idol worship, idol idolatrous holiday, the Chol HaYoros HaSmuchos Lo Mishtabdo Islo, and it's also a given that the cities around Rome were, the cities that were next to Rome, surrounding Rome, were duty bound, were in Mishtabdos, literally means enslaved to, we can say they were bound and pay taxes to that central city, to Rome. Oisan Ayoros, those surrounding communities, Asuros o Mutaros, are they also part of the restriction of conducting business during those prohibited business days, the days that are before the holiday, or are they not part of that restriction? The Rashi on the Dibur Maschil Oi Mutaros, he says, Hoyel the Ein Makriven Hain, since they don't offer sacrifices on that holiday, the Ein Yom Eid Zeh Shalen, and it's not their holiday, can I conduct business with those surrounding communities? So let us see the Gemara. Rabbi Shuben Levi Omar, Kalando Asura Lakol He. Rabbi Shua ben Levi takes a strict position that Kalanda creates restriction to all, not just to the central city. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein Asura Elo Lo Yivdeo Bilvad. The restriction of conducting business with the inhabitants refers to the city itself and not the surrounding communities, not the even though they may be bound to the central city. Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it too is in a frame, that supports Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. The source says, Afapisha Amru Roimi Osta Kalanda Vechol Ayoros Asmuchos La Mishtablis La, He Atzma Eino Asura Elo Leoivdeho Bilvad. The Isser of doing business applies only to those that worship the idol, in this case to Romi itself. With our markings, we've emphasized what is the main point, Eino Asura Elo Leoivdeho Bilvad, which supports Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Starnalia v'kartasim v'yom genusi shel malchayim v'yom shehumlach boi melech lefonov osur achrov mutar. The days prior to those events are forbidden. The days afterwards are mutar. V'oived kichovim she'oso mishte levnoi ein osur ela oisoi hayoyim v'oiso ish. And an idol worshipper that married off his son, the restriction of doing business applies only to the man himself and that very day, not the days before. Omar Rav Ashi, Af Ananami Tanino, we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan, that said that the Ayoros HaMishubados, the surrounding bound communities, are not part of the prohibition of doing business. Dikotoni, the source says, Yoim Tiglachas Zikono Ubloriso. We saw this in our Mishnah, the day that he shaves his, trims his beard and his hair. V'yom Sholo Boi Minayam. V'yom Shiyotza Boi Mibeso Asurim. Ein Osur Ela Oiso Hayoim Bilvad V'Oisoi Ho'ish. There are two expressions of a limiting nature at the end. The Gemara comments on that. Bishlamo Oiso Hayoim. I understand the intention of Oisim, Lafuke Lefonov Lachrov. Only the day itself is prohibited in conducting business, but not the days before and after. Ela, Oiso Hoish, Lafuke Mai. By using the expression Osoish, who are we excluding? The Rashi explains the question. Ela, Oiso Ish, Lemute Mai. Pshita, the Mi Shalo Gile Hayom, Ushar Oivde Kochavim Shalo Olu Boi. Bayoim min hayam mutarin. It's obvious that someone else who didn't take a haircut, or other people that didn't finish their seafaring journey, there's no restriction with regard to them. So what's the significance of saying that the restriction applies to oiso ish alone? Lafuke mai. So the Gemara points out, lav lafuke mishabdov. Is it not coming to exclude from the restriction those people that are enslaved or bound to this particular person? So we see from here that there is a situation that people that are bound to someone else, if they, even though the person himself is celebrating an idolatrous holiday, that does not cause a restriction with regard to those people that are bound to him. The Rashi, Elolav, Limute Anoshim Mishubadim, Lo'oisoish. The expression in the Mishnah that says, Oisoish, comes to exclude those people that are bound to the gentleman celebrating his haircut. Dumutorin, the Lo Amrinon, we don't say, Man Dezavni Mamtu Le Lemiflach. That one who, let us say, buys one of these anoshim mishubodim that buys for me will then bring the item to the person they are bound to for his worship purposes. Whereas, since we don't take that into consideration, we don't have to suspect that. Therefore, it's mutter to sell, to conduct business, etc., with the mishubodov. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yisrael shebechutz la'aretz oivdei avodes kechovim b'tahara hein. Jews that dwell in the diaspora are considered as if they are idol worshippers in purity. In other words, they are in effect associated with idol worshippers, even though they don't have any kavona, they don't have any intention to be idol worshippers. Ketzad. What do you mean by this? Explain.
Oyved kechovim she'also mishtalivno v'zimein kol ha'yehudim shebiro, an idol worshiper that is marrying off his son, and he invites all of the Jews in the city to join with him. Afalpi she'ochlin mishelahen v'shoysin mishelahen, even though they eat their own food, their own kosher food, drink their own kosher wine, v'shamo shalem oymi lefnem, and a Jewish attendant serves them, Jewish waiter. Even though everything is done with a kosher supervision, if you will, nevertheless, since they are participating in this idol worshippers' festive day, male aleim hakosuf kilu ochlu mizivchei mesim, the pasuk views them as if they ate from sacrifices offered to the idol. Shenemar v'koro lecha v'ochalto mizivcho. The Gemara asks, "Ve'emo ad ochil." Maybe the problem arises only if the Jew actually eats from the korban, and that would be a clear violation. But who is to say that from this pasuk you see that by not eating, by simply participating in his festivity, that there is a problem? Omar Rava im came. If it were so that the problem arises only upon the actual eating and benefiting from an idolatrous sacrifice, name or crawl, the pasuk should have said the achalta mizivcho. That's all it should have said. My v'korolecha. Why does the pasuk add that he calls you, that he invites you? From that we learn mishas kriya, that from the very point of invitation there already begins the problem. And from the point of invitation, it's considered as if he ate from the korban, from the sacrifice offered to the idol. Hilkach, kol talsin yoimin. Since we have established that a Gentile serves his idol in honor of his wedding his child, the following breakdown of days is to be known. For 30 days after the wedding, bein omerle machmas hilula, uvein lo omerle machmas hilula, whether the goy, whether the idol worshipper says, invites me, and says, whether he says, I'm inviting you to a meal because of the wedding, or he doesn't say mention anything about the wedding, but since it's within 30 days of his having wedded his son, usur, it's forbidden to participate. Mikan ve'elech, beyond that point in time, e amarle machmas hilula, usur, if he says, I want you to come over in celebration of the wedding that I made 2 months ago, it would be usur to participate. The Elo, if more than 30 days passed and he made no mention of the wedding, the Elo Amale Machmasilula, if he didn't make any reference to the wedding, then Shori, it's mutter to participate with him in his meal. The Chi Amale Machmasilula Ad Emas, and in the event that he says that 30 days have passed and he makes reference to the wedding that he made, how long will we associate the meal, the invitation, with regard to the wedding? True, he said because of the wedding, but how long is it in reality that he's celebrating that wedding, so to speak, that he's commemorating the wedding? Omar Afaba ad treisar yarchishasa, up till a point of 12 months, up till a year after the wedding, if he says that I'm inviting you to a meal because I made a wedding, we take him seriously, and it becomes prohibited as a result of his mentioning the wedding. Beyond that time, though, if more than a year passed, even if he says that I'm inviting you because of the wedding I made a year and a half ago, we wouldn't take him seriously. Umeikora me'emas osir, and prior to the wedding, if this Gentile makes a seuda, some kind of festive meal, from what point at the outset does the prohibition of participating set in? Omar of Poba Mishmei Derava Mechiramu Sari Ba'asinti. From the point
that there are, for this line, there are two pirushim in the Rashi. One pirush, one explanation is from the point that he places the takes the barley and places it in barrels for the purpose of making beer in anticipation of that event. So from the point that he starts the beer manufacture process, that's the point at which the meal that he's making is in fact in anticipation of the wedding, and under such circumstances he would offer sacrifices to his Avodah Zorah, and hence it would be also for a Jew to participate in such a meal. The Gemara now asks, regarding what we said earlier about 12 months and after 12 months, Ulubasar Tracy Yarchi Shosashari, is it so that after 12 months, if the Goy, if the Gentile invites you for a meal, it would be mutter? Veha Rav Yitzchak Breder of Mesharshia, Ikla Lebe Hahu Oivik Yuchavim, Lubasar Tracer Yarchi Shosa. There was a story where Rav Yitzchak went to the home of a particular idol worshiper more than 12 months since he made his wedding. Vishame di Oidi, he heard the Goy offering thanks to his deity because of thanks for this Rav Yitzchak joining him. Upiresh v'lo'achal, and upon hearing the Gentile talking to his deity, Rav Yitzchak he split. He cut away from there. In other words, he ran away and he didn't eat. What do we see from this? We see that even after 12 months, there is a problem. Umar says, from here we can't make any general rule. Shiny Rav Yitzchak Breder of Mesharshia, the Odom Choshevu. Rav Yitzchak represents is different than a commoner. Since he was an Odom Choshevu, was an important individual, the Gentile, the Goy, this idol worshiper, was happy even though more than 12 months went by. The Kartasim, v'chule, my Kartasim, Omar of Yudah Mar Shmuel, Yoim Shetofsa Boy Roimi Malchus. This is the holiday that the Romans celebrate because of their having seized control, seized power. The Hot Tanya, but we have a Tanaic source that says, Kartasim v'yom shetofsa boi romi malchus, as if they're two separate things. Kartasim is one thing, and the day of their ascending to power is something else. Omar Rav Yosef, shtei tfisas tofsa romi. Romi ascended to power in two stages. Achas bimei klapatra malchusa, v'achas shetofsa bimei yivonim. One ascent to power was when they defeated the queen Cleopatra, and the second was when they defeated the Greeks. The Chiosa Ravdini Omar, Tlosin Vitrain Karvi of the Romoi Bahadi Yavoni. There were 32 battles that the Romans waged against the Greeks, the Lo Yochlu Lehu, and they were not successful in defeating them. Aj Deshatfinu the Yisrael Badayo, until the Romans made a partnership with the Jews. The Hochi Asnu Bahadayo, and thusly the Romans stipulated or made a condition together with the Jews. I Minon Malchi, Minaychu Hefarchi. If from us there is appointed the king, from you there will be the vice king. If from you will be appointed the king, then minon hafarchi, then from us will be the vice king. The sholchuluhu romoi liyavoni. After the Romans made a pact with the Jews, the Romans then sent to the Greeks the following: adu idno avidno bekrova. Until now, we were involved with battling you. Hashto navid bedino. From this point on, we're going to work with logic. We will war with you, so to speak, or debate you with logic. And their logic is as follows: Margulis ve'even toiva, eize mehen yase bosis lechavero. If you have two precious items, one is a margulis, and the other is a precious stone. Margulis sometimes is translated as a pearl, and a even toiva, which shall serve as the basis for the other. In other words, the lesser important item will be the base to support the more important item. So given these two things, which which is considered the lesser important. Shochule, the Greeks responded, Margulis Leventova. The Margulis is less important than the Eventova, and therefore the Margulis will serve as the base for the precious stone. Eventova v'onoch, Eizumen Yase Bosis Chavero. Given a choice between the Eventova versus an Onoch, another kind of precious material, which shall be the basis for which? Answer, Eventova la'onach. The Eventova is less significant than the Onoch, so the Eventova serves as the basis for the Onoch. Onoch v'sefer Torah, Eizumen Yase Bosis Chavero. The Greeks answered, Onoch v'sefer Torah. That the Onoch is going to serve as the basis for the Sefer Torah, being the Sefer Torah being the most important item. Sholchulahu. So the Romans said, well, once you answered that question, that the Onoch is going to support the Sefer Torah, being that the Sefer Torah is the most valuable of items, the Romans said, Im kein anan Sefer Torah gabon v'Yisrael b'hadon. They informed the Greeks that, well, we've got the Sefer Torah with us because the Jews have joined with us. Kofu lehu. So Rome, with that, subdued the Greeks. Esr vishis shonen, komu lehu b'mnaisu b'masayu b'hadi Yisrael. For 26 years, the Romans were cooperative and remained trustworthy with the Jews. Mikan v'elech, but after 26 years of cooperation passed, ishtabdu behu, the Romans then subjugated the Jews. Meikora maidorosh ubasof maidorosh, what was their thinking at the outset, that they worked in cooperation, and what was their thinking as time went on when they subjugated the Jews? Meikora dorosh, initially they focused on the posuk with Yankov and Esav that says nisav v'neilecho ve'elcho l'negdecha, where they say that they will walk together. The togetherness indicates equality. Ulevasof, Dorush Yavor no Adoni Lufnei Avdo. And afterwards, they emphasize the pasuk where Yankov says to Esav, "You go ahead." It should be assumed that Rome is viewed as the descendant of Esav. So these psukim take on added significance. So though, even though initially there was equality because of the posuk Nisov and Elecha, eventually it turned into a different relationship, one of subject, of subjugation, and that's a result of this second posuk. Esrin v'shis shonen dekomu ben asayhu behadi Yisrael menolon. From where do we know that there was a period of cooperation, of equality, for 26 years? The Omer of Kahana. We know this from the following, but before we go any further in the Gemara, we must take note of the star, it's the comment that you find on the inside margin, where we note Iker Tshuva L'Shela Zu, the main point that serves as the answer to this particular question, Nimseis B'Tes Omer Aleph Acharei Shagmor Oireches Cheshbon Shonen B'Nidon Zeh. After the Gemara finishes a rather elaborate calculation of years, only by the time we get to Daf Tes will we have an answer to this particular question, namely, from where do we see, or from where do we know, that there was a period of 26 years of Jewish-Roman cooperation. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, we can also take a look at the topic heading we've assigned to this Gemara in the outside margin. Cheshbonos Shonim Historiim, different historical calculations, Shema Torah, that the eventual goal of making these calculations is limso, to find Sheroimi Hoyu Bikshorim Toivim Im Yisrael B'meshech Chof Vav Shana B'tchilas Malchusam, to show that the Jews had good relations with the Romans for the first 26 years of the Roman ascent to power. So now we prepare ourselves for the answer. But as we said, the actual answer to this question is going to appear a bit later. The Omer of Kahana, Kishecholu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi when Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi took ill, Sholchulei, the Rabbanan sent to him the following. They sent the following message. Rebbe, Emor lanu shnayim u'shosh dvarim shamatir lanu mishum avicha. Tell us two or three things that you've said over in the name of your father. Omar luhu. As we go on in the Gemara, we see the use of a double underline. That's explained in our Mivneh heading. This is Lehavlit Shanim to help different years stand out. So Omar Lahu, Rabbi Shmuel says to them, Mea Ushmainim Shana Koidim Shenechrav Habayis. 180 years prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This number will be very significant when we come to the Cheshbon on Daf Tes. So, 180 years before the destruction of the Temple of Bayis Sheni, Poshta Malchus HaRosha Al Yisrael. Malchus HaRosha is a reference to the Roman Empire. They subjugated the Jewish people. Peshana ad lo chorav habayis gozru tuma al eretz soamim ve al klei zechuchis. 80 years before Churban Habayis, there was a rabbinic ruling that maintained that the lands outside of Israel are viewed as tome, as if they were a beis hakvoros. In other words, a rabbinic tumas meis was established regarding the lands outside of Israel. The Al Klei Zechuchis, and also it was ruled rabbinically that glassware is makabel tuma, is able to receive, to absorb tuma, categorizing it, let us say, something like earthenware cheres, or like metal. The Gemara discusses the specifics about Klei Zechuchis in the first parak of Maseches Shabbos. Mem Arboim Shana, 40 Shana, ad lo chorav habayis, golsa Sanhedrin, v'yoshva lo b'chanus. 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Sanhedrin left its location in the Lishkas Gozis and relocated itself to a place called Chanus. Chanus is a place that's within the confines of Har HaBayis, but it's far away, relatively speaking, from the Azorah that they originally occupied. Lamai Hilchasa, of what halachic significance is it that Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGozis and went to Chonus? We have a bracketed section in the Gemara, and if we skip the bracketed section, we will see the answer. That and the length of these brackets, you can see, is indicated by the length marker, the vertical dash dotted line that you see to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. So the question was, what lamai hilchasa? For what halachic? What halachic value does it have in knowing that Sanhedrin left their Lishkas HaGozis location to go to Chonus? So after the bracket says shelo donu dine nefoshos, as a result of their not being located in the Lishkas HaGozis, they could no longer judge cases of capital cases. As far as the details behind that are concerned, that will appear later in the Gemara. But before that, we have to go through now the bracketed section. We also have a note on the inside margin indicating the purpose of the brackets, and let's read that. Matras hasograyim, the purpose of these brackets, he, l'shem dilug, is for the purpose of skipping, as we just demonstrated. Dimiyad achareim bo atshuva, that immediately after them comes the answer, l'sheilas l'may hilchasa, to the question of that the Gemara raised of l'may hilchasa. B'soch hasograyim, ha-Gemara noisenes tshuva rishona l'sheila, within the brackets, the Gemara will give what we'll call the attempted first answer to the question, avol miyad docheu kelo meduyok, and will then immediately reject that answer as being imprecise. The Gemara in the brackets. The Gemara at this point is trying to answer the question of what value is it knowing that Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGozis. So the answer is Omar of Yitzchok bar Avdimi Lomar. This teaches us Shelo Donu Dine Knossos, that they stopped adjudicating cases of knas. Knas are, we sometimes translate it as cases of fine. Those are payments that are fixed by the Torah because one violates certain things. Since they are fixed costs, as opposed to costs that correspond to the damage incurred, they are classified as knas and not momon. But in order to judge cases of knas, there are certain requirements that have to be in place beforehand. The Gemara at this point thinks that in order to dan dine knossos, in order to judge cases involving knas, one, the Sanhedrin has to be in the Lishkas Hagozes. But to that, the Gemara says, that's just not true. Dine knossos salka daitach. Does one really think that the location of the Sanhedrin in the Lishkas Hagozes is for the purpose of dine knossos? V'omar Rav Yehuda, omar Rav, Bram zachur oso ish latov. Bram, in truth, the following man shall be remembered for good. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova Shmo. The man referred to that we should remember Latov is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. She'el molehu, if not for him, and now we have these internal brackets, we'll skip that momentarily, we'll say that if not for him, botlu dine knossos Misrael. There would have been no more judging of dine knossos. Let's now go over the little, the internal brackets. Shilmolehu nishtakhu dine knossos Misrael. If not for him, if not for Rabbi Yehuda and Bava, the laws regarding knas would have been forgotten. The Gemara asks in wonderment, nishtakhu? The Grisinu, what do you mean they would be forgotten? Let people go and learn them. Elo botlu dine knossos Misrael. If not for Rabbi Yehuda and Bava, there would have ceased the ability to judge cases of knas. In other words, we would know the laws concerning knas by studying them. But can they be judged? Well, if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, we will soon learn that the ability to judge dine knossos would have come to an end. So in anticipation of the Gemara, let us just make reference to the heart of the topic. In order to dan dine knossos, the judge has to have smicha. Smicha is a type of, we'll call rabbinic confirmation that traces itself back, way back, to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua. This institution of smicha was conferred from generation to generation. One who received smicha was able to confer it onwards. However, if there would be a break in the chain, then the institution of smicha would come to an end, and hence cases involving knas could not be judged, as we said. Unlike simple tort cases, momon cases, where you don't need to be samuch or someone who received smicha, dine knossos require this element. So as the Gemara says, if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, there would have the dine knossos would have come to an end. Shegozer malchus harosha gzera, the evil empire, the Romans, issued the following edict. Kol ha-soymech yehoreg. Anyone who confers this rabbinic confirmation on to someone else shall be murdered, shall be killed. V'chol ha-nismach yehoreg. Anyone who receives the confirmation shall be executed. V'ir shesomchen bo techarev. And the city in which smicha takes place shall be destroyed. Utchum shesomchen bo yeaker. And the environment, the area around the city shall be uprooted. Ma also Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did he do about this? Holach v'yoshav bein shnei horim gedolim, u'bein shtei ayoros gedolos, bein shnei tchumei shabbos. He went and sat between two mountains, between two cities, two large cities, and he took a position that was between two tchumei shabbos. Tchum shabbos is the area around the city, an area of 2,000 amos. So he sat at a point, at a geographical location, that was outside the 2,000 amah belt that surrounded these two cities, Bein Usho l'Shfaram, the cities of Usho and Shfaram. He sat between them. V'somach shom chamisha zakenim, and he conferred smicha onto five sages. we have to note, and this is the main point for the immediate discussion, that these five Rabbonim were many years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Who were the five? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua, Rabbi Avya Mosef. Rabbi Avya adds to the list a sixth, Af Rabbi Nechemya. What do we see from here? We see that Dine Knossos were continued at a point in time after the destruction of the temple. Therefore, at the opening of this bracketed section, where we thought the answer was that the significance of the self-imposed exile of the Sanhedrin from the Lishkas Agosis to the Chanas had an effect on Dine Knossos, that's not so. That didn't stop Dine Knossos. Dine Knossos continued even to a period of time after the destruction of the temple. Continuing in the Gemara, with the story involving Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Kevon Shekiru Bohem Oivim, when the enemies saw or noticed what took place, Omar Lehem, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said, Bonai, Rutsu, my sons, take off, run. Amrulo Rebbe, they said to him, to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, V'ato ma te alecha, what's going to be with you? Omar Lehem, he answered, Hareini Mutal Lifneim Ke'evan Shein Lo Hothchem. I'm going to remain in front of them like a stone that cannot be flipped over. Omru, it's reported, Lo zazu misham ad shenatsu legufo shlosh meis l'nos shel barzel vasu legufo kikvora. The enemies did not leave Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava until they pierced his body with 300 metal or 300 iron spears and made his body into looking like a sieve. Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Lo temo dine knossos. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok comes to correct the answer that was originally presented. The answer to the question of what do I have to know that Sanhedrin left the Lishkas Hagozes, left their position next to the Azorah and went to Chonos. So he says, sort of, Rav Nachman says, don't say that it had bearing on Dine Knossos. Elo shelo donu Dine Nefashos. It had bearing on their ability to legislate, to rule upon capital cases. My taima. Why did they leave the Lishkas Hagozes in order to stop their ability to judge capital cases? The Gemara explains, Kevan de Chazu de Nefishilu Roschen Velo Yachli Le Meidan. They saw that they were living in a period of time where there were many, many murders taking place, and they felt they couldn't possibly judge all those cases. Omru, they reasoned, Mutov Nigli Mimokom Lamokom, better for us to exile ourselves from one place to the other, from the Lishkas Hagozes, away from there, Ki Hechi Delo Lechaivu, so that we will not be bound to judge. The Rashi explains, Ki Hechi Delo Lechaivu Roitzchem Katla, so as to create a situation where the murderers will not be subject to a death penalty. Because the Ein Donin Dinei Nefashos, Afilu B'Sanhedrin Ketana Shebechol Ir, capital cases cannot be judged even by the local courts of 23, unless, only if, the central court, the high court of the Sanhedrin, were seated in the Lishkas Hagozes. So once the head court, the Sanhedrin, left the Lishkas Hagozes, the local courts would not be able to judge the murder cases, and thereby they wouldn't have to confront their actual inability to judge. Tichtiv, the pasuk cited here is a pasuk dealing with Dinei Nefashos, and hence it serves as our source that the location of the head court is of significance for judging capital cases. The pasuk says, V'osisa al pi hadavar asher yagidu l'cha min amokam ahu. The pasuk says, "Min hamokom ahu melamed shamokom goreim." This shows us that the position, the location, is what causes capital cases to be judged. And hence, if they change their location, they are no longer in their official location, their official seat. Capital cases are not judged. As the Gemara goes on, we have an arrow that helps you find where this was originally mentioned. The Gemara asks, Meo Shmoinim Vesu Lo? Are you telling us that Rome ascended to power a mere 180 years before the destruction of the temple and not earlier. The Hotani Rabbi Yossi Berebi, we have a Tanaic source that shows us otherwise. At this point in the Gemara, we are starting a long question, and in order to complete the idea, it will be necessary for us to learn to spill over onto Daf Tes Amud Aleph in order to deal with this issue. Dealing with this issue will also lead us to the answer to the original question of how do we know that there were 26 years of cooperation. So at this point, the Gemara is questioning that which was mentioned earlier, where we started the double underlining. It was mentioned that 180 years prior to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Rome started to subjugate the Jews. Parenthetically, let's just note that the length of time that the second Beis HaMikdash stood was 420 years. So the Gemara is asking, how can you say that it was a mere 180 years? We have the following historical source: Malchus Poras b'fnei habayis shloishim v'arba shana. The Persian monarchy was responsible for the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash under the head of Koresh. Their monarchy, their kingdom, lasted for 34 years. For 34 of the we'll say the first 34 years of the second Beis HaMikdash, Poras was still in power. As that passed, after 34 years, the Greeks took over. Malchus Yavon b'fnei Abayis mea u'shmoinim shana. So for the next 180 years, Greece was in control. So if you take the number 34 and add to that 180, you get to 214. In other words, by the year 214 of the Beis HaMikdash, the 214th year of the Beis HaMikdash, Greece ceases to be in control. Malchus Chashmonai b'fnei Habayis mea v'shalosh. For the next 103 years, the Hasmonean, the Chashmonoim, took control. Malchus Beis Hurdis mea v'shalosh. And for the last 103 years of the first temple was the kingdom of Herod. Mikan v'elech, say v'chashoiv kamo shonim achar churban habayis. From that point on, if you want to date documents or make calculations, you would calculate according to the year of the destruction of the temple. But from these numbers, especially if you focus on the time that the Hashmonoim took over, they took over in the year 214 of the temple. Now, if the temple stood for a total of 420 years, you would take 420 and subtract from it 214, you come out with 206. It was noted that when the Greeks were defeated, they were defeated by the Romans, that we mentioned in the earlier Gemara on Daf Chesomet Beis. They were defeated by the Romans by Rome having partnered up with the Jews. So Malchus Chashmonai represents the partnership of the Jews with the Romans. After all, they followed the Greeks. So we know that at that point when Malchus Chashmonai enters the picture, they are entering after the year 214 of the temple's standing, leaving another 206 years till its destruction. So at what point did Rome enter the picture? Not like we said 180 years before its destruction, but rather 206 years before its destruction. Alma Moson Vishis Havu. Yat Amris Mea Ushmonim Havu. You said, you see from here that 206 years before the destruction, Greek left and Rome entered. And as we said again, as we said earlier, Rome entered as being partners with the Jews, in this case the Hashmonoim. How can you therefore say that Rome entered the picture a mere 180 years before the destruction? The resolution to this is as follows. Elo esrin v'shis shonin komu b'amnesayu b'ad Yisrael v'lo ishtabli b'hu. For 26 years, they, the Romans, were in cooperation, in partnership, in equality with the Jews. The amtu lohi, and because of these 26 years, because of their feeling of equality and partnership, lo kachoshiv l'hu k'sheposhto malchus rosh ha'Yisrael. They are not classified, they're not calculated as the years that Rome subjugated the Jews. So if we go over this last statistic, we see everything is resolved. They subjugated the Jews at what point? 180 years before the destruction. In actuality, they came, they took over power, in other words, they replaced the Greeks, not 180 years before the destruction, but rather 206 years before the destruction. It, however, from the point in time, we'll call it 206 pre-destruction, till 180 pre-destruction, which accounts for 26 years, that was a period of time that Rome was in partnership with the Jews, and hence it's not classified as the years during which they subjugated the Jews. What point in time was it that they subjugated the Jews? That's what the Gemara mentioned on Daf Ches Amud Beis, 180 years before the destruction. At that point, they started to subjugate the Jews. So with that, we understand what was meant, that Rome and the Jews were in cooperation for 26 years. With that, we complete our shiur for today.